Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM Columbus, Ohio. This special edition celebrates Ohio Goes to the Movies, a signature event of America 250 Ohio, co-produced by John DeSando and Mary Urina, and hosted by Mary Urina. This podcast version features additional content and banter with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
And John DeSando loves to hear that. I'm Mary Urina.
And I'm Lisa Maggard.
And this is Double Take. Lisa, I think we're talking about a modern classic.
Yes.
Today. We are going to be talking about Pixar's Up. Lisa, can you tell us what Up is about?
Up is an adventure story that follows a grumpy old widower who is going to be forced out of his old home to go to a retirement home. And instead of doing that, he ties thousands of balloons to his home to float off on an adventure.
Who wouldn't do that?
Yes. Who would not want to float down to Paradise Valley in South America to achieve an adventure that he and his wife had always talked about and had never been on? There's a stowaway that comes with him that makes for the adventure even more fun.
And I think other people or other creatures encounter them along the way of their adventure. And I know this is an adventure story and beautifully told from Pixar Studios because they are just such wonderful emotional storytellers. But I also found that this was somewhat a story about grief. We have Carl, who you referenced as a widower, and the first 15 minutes of the film are actually about him meeting the love of his life when they're children. He meets Ellie. Mm-hmm. And then when they get married, it's about a 10-minute montage that's just so beautiful about their life together.
And I challenge you not to get a little weepy watching this montage, in which there is no dialogue for 6 minutes.
Exactly.
And it follows their life through the hardships and the normal building a life together, the roadblocks that come in the way, the things that happen that keep you from going on your grand adventure.
And when he loses her, it's the process of grief. He's in his home that they first, that's where they met as children, and they have fixed up and it's become their lifetime home. But progress has developed around them and around this home. And he's lost Ellie, but he talks to the house like it is Ellie. I think that's part of his grieving process. So as the years go on, the fact that developers want to buy his house out and are trying to force him out would be like losing Ellie all over again. And then we have his stowaway,
Russell, a wilderness explorer who comes to help him out because he's earnestly wanting to earn his last badge of helping the elderly.
Right. And for some reason, he has identified Carl Fredrickson as the elderly person that he's going to help and earn this badge.
And gets continually rebuffed, but happens to be hanging on to the porch when the house takes flight.
Yes, when the balloons cause it to float up.
You know, and speaking about Carl and his demeanor, I can't help but wonder, what came first? Did they cast Ed Asner to play Carl Fredrickson and then draw him to look like Ed Asner? Or did they draw the character and say, gee, he looks like Ed Asner, let's get him to voice the character?
So my understanding is, from an interview I saw with Pete Docter, is they actually created the look of Carl first, and he's primarily based on Spencer Tracy in his last film role in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, mm-hmm. which I have to say, when I first saw the film and then when I watched it again in preparation for our conversation, I was like, gosh, that looks like Spencer Tracy. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that's who it was based on. Huh. So they did create the look of Carl first, but then they had the challenge of finding the actor who had that gravelly mm-hmm. voice. Gruff, yeah. And they did find it in Ed Asner, who does a wonderful job. And Russell is facing his own grief. We learn along the way that part of why he wants to earn this badge is not so much earning the badge, but that the tradition for wilderness explorers is that their dads present them the badge.
Right. And his talks, father is not present in right. his life, and he's hoping, and his father has promised that he will come and pin this badge on him if and when he earns it. Father has been absent from his life from what seems like many years, and it's very sad. And Russell's looking for
love, acceptance, a father figure, all of those things too, and is dealing with that as a young boy.
Right. So he's processing his own grief. So these two come together and go on this incredible adventure to fulfill what Ellie identified as her big adventure in life when they were children. And it's told so beautifully, not only through the imagery that you would expect with Pixar, but also the score. It was scored like an opera, so every character has their theme. And we hear Ellie's theme not only during their married life together, but also in a different way when the house settles at Paradise Falls in South America and they're going on their adventure. It really is just so wonderfully and beautifully told. And I want to tell you who the composer was, because it was just so wonderful. Michael Giacchino composed this. It was one of the two Academy Awards that the film actually won. And this was the first time that a Best Original Score was awarded to a Pixar film, despite numerous nominations.
All the other things they could have won for.
Exactly.
Including that, the beautiful animation, that the soft, colorful look of it, just that magic that historically Disney and now Pixar Disney owns Pixar. There are certain scenes in every one of these movies that just kind of take your breath away. For me, it's when Elsa's staircase is built in Frozen.
Yeah,
that ice staircase. It was just takes your breath away. And then at the end of Beauty and the Beast, when the camera comes swooping down through that chandelier while Beauty and Beast are dancing. And with this one, it's when the house starts to lift off, and then you look up and this camera comes out and then the tarp comes off and all those balloons just emerge. And it just makes you smile. It's just so beautiful and stunning and unexpected the first time you see it.
I will agree. And what it touched me about those first scenes with the house floating is the color reflection of the balloons as the sun shone through them, as it's floating over the city, you see those colors dapple the buildings
and
people's faces as they're looking up in wonder. And it's just so beautifully told as an emotional story about grief and love and relationships and adventure. And it is a modern classic as far as I'm concerned.
Anytime you see a movie, you have an idea where it's going to go, and then it takes a left turn and introduces crazy characters like the bird and the dog and the other adventurer that's hiding out in South America and talking dogs and squawking birds. And it's like, okay, this is taking off into a different area. And it's fun.
Well, and only the way that you can do in computer graphic animation. They create worlds out of nothing, but it's the emotional storytelling behind it that makes it so believable and makes you want to go on that adventure with them. And we've been remiss in not mentioning that we would fail if we didn't say that there's so much adult humor hidden in the film, especially if you know older films. For example, when the story of adventure comes to a climax between the adventurer who's somewhat gone mad in South America and Carl realizing that he doesn't want to go that route, and he changes his mind about settling in at Paradise Falls to go rescue Kevin, the bird. And Russell, and ultimately Doug the dog. There's a scene where we have the dogs that are owned by Charles Muntz, who's the gone mad adventurer, who start flying to attack the balloons on the house. And it's like a recreation of the Star Wars scene where they talk about Red Leader. And and it just brought so much humor to what was already just a lovely story.
Yeah, and when Russell is yammering away and Carl wants him to be quiet, he says, "Let's play the game where we see how long we can go without speaking."
Every parent's favorite game. We also chose this film because there are a lot of Ohio connections to not only Pixar, but this film in particular. What do you recommend to our listeners about Up?
Go on that adventure. Don't put it off. Take your adventure, as the theme of the movie says, adventure is out there, and don't forget your hanky for the first 10 minutes.
I would agree with that. We're talking about Up, and our conversation for Double Take, I really want to focus on how many Ohio connections there are as we celebrate Ohio Goes to the Movies in America 250.
Yes, there's some very talented people that came out of the Ohio State University and have a pipeline to Pixar.
Absolutely. And it actually goes back to a professor named Charles Surrey. In the 1960s, he was an art professor, but started messing around with what computers could potentially bring to his art and ended up connecting with computer engineers in the College of Engineering. And from that, just continued to develop and bring more people into the process. And we now have today the Advanced Computing Center for the Arts and Design, which is a national powerhouse of computer animation research and talent development, and frequently feeds the top tier studios that you would think of, like
yes,
Pixar.
Over nearly 200 graduates from ACAD at OSU are currently working in the field at Pixar and Disney and ILM and a lot of other places.
I mean, it's really quite amazing and quite a legacy for Dr. Surrey, who was still teaching and still researching when I was a student at Ohio State. He has since passed, but ACAD is just an incredible legacy and gift to all of us. And we were talking earlier about, would a movie like Up even exist without a pioneer like Dr. Surrey?
Well, when you talk about art moving into other areas like photography in the 1860s, and then this new technology comes along, it's just a wonderful confluence when you've got an art and technology coming together and someone that has the space and the time and the money to explore that. And that's what our universities and our research universities like OSU do. They're just a treasure to be able to be this, to nurture that seed. And then from that, we have an entire industry, literally from this one man in this one small office at OSU.
It is incredible. And he did a lot of the early, more commercially successful graphic design for CBS Sports and the Super Bowl, and the list goes on and on. And it was because of his success that people sought out to come to Ohio State. And probably the most prominent alumnus from that program is Steve May, who
yes.
is the chief technology officer at Pixar.
Yeah, he's in charge of all the research and development of what goes on and how do they adopt the new technology that's coming out, creating new software, creating new hardware to do the things that the artists are envisioning.
Which is just incredible. And he really cut his teeth. His first job out of college, after getting his bachelor's, master's, and PhD, all at Ohio State.
You heard that right, people. You can get a PhD in computer animation at OSU. Sign up now.
Nice commercial. But he got his PhD in 98 and was hired in 98 by Pixar. His first film that he worked on was Toy Story 2. And one of the things that really elevated him, and it was something I specifically remember when I saw the movie Monsters, Inc., was how Sully's fur
yes.
moved.
Steve May was a fur technologist.
Yes, he was a fur technologist.
Put that on your resume.
Exactly. But it's just to remember that, and then now to know he was behind it and the connections he has to Ohio State was really just such a gift. And he did work on Up, as well as another OSU alumna, Fran Kalal. She worked as a shot simulation artist on Up, and she notably designed and simulated the costumes, including Ellie's wedding dress.
Yes, and dresses for Merida in Brave. This cloth simulation made me pay attention to the clothing and the fabrics in Up, and it made it just such a much richer experience to watch how Carl's corduroy suit moved and how the sails that he'd concocted out of bed sheets to fly the house plane, how they billowed, and the beauty and the light and the movement of that, because Fran Kalal started out being a seamstress and an artist, so she converged her textile love, her love of sewing, and her love of design, and put it into a career, and she's been at Pixar for decades doing this kind of work.
And just amazing work, because the one thing that I noticed in the movie Up about the fabric, and it was something I hadn't picked up on when I first saw the film, Carl and Russell come back to the United States after having rescued Kevin, and they've now adopted Doug and the other dogs from the Spirit of Adventure airship of Carl's Munz, who meets his demise as most evil villains do. They go to the Wilderness Explorer badge ceremony pretty much straight off the airship. So they're dirty, Carl hasn't shaved, but I noticed the wear and tear on their clothing, which it's one thing to develop the cloth technology, but then from a storyboard perspective, to carry that continuity through of, they just got off the ship, they're not going to be in pristine clothing anymore after dragging this mm-hmm. house down to Paradise Falls and having the adventure that they did to rescue Kevin, and just that wear and tear consistency on clothing really struck me. And so kudos to Fran for
And some of the other things that I noticed was when they zeroed in on his sash with all his badges, how beautifully and colorful and the intricacy, and you could see every stitch of how they'd stitched all the badges, similar to Boy Scout badges and Girl Scout badges that we're familiar with. But just beautiful detail like that. And she just loves it. And she's a lovely person. If you see her do any of her YouTube videos on her job, you could just tell this is a woman who just loves her job.
And she's lucky to have found her passion. And there is another Ohio connection to Up that we haven't talked about, and it's not through Ohio State, but Bob Peterson, who co-developed the story with Pete Docter and actually co-wrote the screenplay, was born and raised in Worcester, Ohio.
Good old Worcester, bringing bad good things into the world.
Absolutely. And kudos to Ohio Northern University, where he got his mechanical engineering undergraduate degree. While he was there, he actually hand-drew a weekly cartoon called For Pete's Sake. He went on to get his master's in mechanical engineering from Purdue, where he also continued his artistry with a weekly hand-drawn cartoon called Locomotives. For those of you who are Boiler fans, you'll know why it's called that. But he became a creative force at Pixar Animation Studios. He began in 1994 as a cartoonist. He's gone on to be an animator, director, screenwriter, and storyboard supervisor. And interestingly, a voice actor. He is the voice of Doug. For those of you who don't know, they wear collars in Up, all the dogs, that can vocalize in human words what the dog's thoughts are.
Squirrel, squirrel.
And the first thing as a golden retriever that Doug says to, I think, Carl, I love you.
typical golden retriever.
Typical golden
please
retriever.
Love me. Please pet me, please.
Yes.
And that is
you're
Doug.
Now my best friend, and I love you. So he's the voice of Doug. He's also the voice of Alpha, the Doberman Pinscher of the dog pack. My favorite discovery, because I just love the character and the voice of Roz so much in Monsters, Inc. and Monsters University, is he is the voice of Roz as well.
What a multi-talented person.
It was hard to find, in addition to Up, between him and Steve May, so many other Ohio State graduates, as you noted, a Pixar film that isn't connected in some way, shape, or form to Ohio or Ohio State. I mean, it's just incredible.
And there are two things I'd like to mention about what's going on in Ohio right now. If you love animation, the Billy Ireland Cartoon Museum on OSU's campus is wonderful, and they have a brand new little museum in there that takes you through the history of cartoons, cartooning, and there's a little small segment in there on Pixar. Really lovely little museum that you can go through in like hour and a half, and it's so fun, and it's so well laid out and so easy to read and get into animation. And then also at COSI right now, there is a special exhibit going on that is behind the world of Pixar. Now, you do pay to get into COSI, and then there's a special event fee. So it's not, you know, for the faint of heart for the price tag. It's been extended through September 7th. So if you're really into animation, and particularly Pixar, you have two wonderful things to go and learn more about it. One free and delightful, and one a little more expensive and I'm sure delightful.
Well, we now have two additional resources to hopefully expand our experience with Pixar and with the movie Up. It is, as I said, a modern classic and a beautifully told story and beautifully rendered through Pixar Animation Studios. And we're so fortunate that Bob Peterson, Steve May,
Fran Kalal
are connected to it. And I know I've been gushing about the film, but what's your final advice to our listeners?
Oh, if you haven't seen it in a while, it's an hour and a half. Just watch this film and enjoy it. Watch it with someone you love, absolutely.
And I would say watch it with the entire family, because it has something for everyone. And as most great stories do, they stand the test of time.
Adventure is out there.
Go up.